Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
When you're sick, you call a doctor. When your pipes break, you call a plumber. And when you're ready to win,
you keep it right here.
For sports gaming strategies and information, experts.
It's a thing.
The home of the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're breaking it down. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. George Kurtz will step up and in a couple of moments' time. Monday Night Football is done, mercifully so. Game stays under the number, 13-10. Final score. Saints get it done. Kamara goes off tonight. Very winnable football game. And we can rip Pete Carroll and we can do it all night. But let's call it out for what it is as well. The Seattle Seahawks field goal kicker. It's like, dude, like, really? All right, I'm going to cut you a little bit of slack for the 53-yarder, but you should make that. You're a pro. And the 44-yarder is unacceptable. You lose the game by three, you miss two field goals. It's not rocket science. I don't like blaming kickers because there's a million plays in a game. It's not just that, but enough is enough. You have one job. You have one job. Kick the ball. That's it. You get to hang around. You're getting paid $1.5 million, $2 million a year, whatever. All right. You're barely a football player as it is. You're on the team. We don't ask a lot of you, right? I'm not asking you to kick a 59-yarder in a snowstorm here, dude. Oh, it's raining, and it's always raining in Seattle. I knew that. Hey, the kid coming in here, Brian Johnson, for the New Orleans Saints. I knew the kid was going to be good. Your name's Brian Johnson. For those about to rock, we salute you. For those about to rock. Come on, man. Brian Johnson. Bon Scott, Brian Johnson, both epic. Both great. It's one of those deals where you can't really say, well, this or that. Like, Bon Scott was great, but, Brian Johnson's voice just goes so good. So good with Angus Young. So, listen, it's too bad, though, isn't it? Because that Thursday night football game, man, I was looking forward to it. And we still are. We still are. But it's just not the same without Davante Adams suddenly. Now, I guess there's a miracle Davante Adams could play, but he ain't playing. Right? He's not going to play. But it's a hell of a game. And how about this? So, the Cardinals remain unbeaten, of course. They're 7-0. It's their best start in franchise history. Since they went 7-0 in 1974, actually. So they take on the 6-1 Green Bay Packers. This will be the best combined win percentage for a Thursday night game in October or later since 1966, which is kind of deceptive because they didn't play Thursday night games in the old days. So why don't you just say since, like, whenever we started doing these stupid Thursday nighters? You would figure that, they always thought, well, people watch NFL football any day of the week. Like, I'm surprised they don't have it 7 days a week yet. I'm surprised they haven't taken that route and said, you know what? Let's just go for like 7 days a week. Let's expand it. I remember the college football guy during the college football playoffs years ago was on New Year's Eve, the college football playoffs, and ESPN warned him. They said, we don't like this, like, at all. And college football told him to shut up. They overrid him. The ratings were horrible. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. George Kurtz going to step up and into Sports Grid Radio Networks. We're kicking it on the mightier 1090. Cliff Cochran will join us as well. We'll get into the World Series, get some World Series predictions, take a look at the MVP odds. I want to get into the division odds right now as well as, you know what, we're pretty much at the halfway point, right? It's 17 weeks this year in the National Football League. So what is the halfway point? Whatever, right? Week 8, week 9, while we're heading into week 8 right now. And the divisions are actually starting to take shape, aren't they? Like, if you actually look at the division and go division by division, the AFC East is done. The Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East, and we're going to win money because of that. The AFC North is a competitive division. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland are right there. It's funny that Cleveland are actually the second choice right now. Like I said, there's some interesting numbers. We'll break down the odds. We'll go division. We'll go through the divisions here. But the AFC West is the intriguing one. We broke it down last night. I'd like to get your guys' opinion. I'm going to throw it out there. Which way are the Minnesota Vikings going from here? Because I got to tell you, I played a season win total on the Vikings under 8.5, okay? And under 8.5. And I put $300 on it. As of today, I cashed out for $300. It was exactly even to cash out. And the in-season, they have in-season win totals. Let's go over those too, man, because there's money to be made there, guys. I'm betting too many games now. I got to get back to my future stuff. I'm killing it with this future stuff. But where I'm going with this is, I don't think the Vikings are going under anymore. The Vikings are better than I thought they were. It's not they are who we thought they were. They're better than I thought they were. And they stumbled out of the gate a little bit, but I think the Vikings might have turned a corner. And they got a big game coming up with the Dallas Cowboys. Look forward to Kurtz's take about this this football game. So, you know, I'm up in the air about that, but I want to talk about the division here, the NFC West, because the NFC West odds, we all talked, oh, this division's going to be this, this division's going to be that. Well, whatever, man. San Francisco and Seattle combined don't have enough wins to be in first place in this division right now. They're done. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, you tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston.
Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Hey, now, speak up, George. I can't hear you. You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston. Not as long as you bastards are running things.
George!
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. We're kicking it. Mudding him out. Now, Cliff Cochran will join us in level three. We'll talk about the World Series. We're going to go to the World Series in a couple of minutes. Great clip to play to lead us into this. But a lot of stuff to get to. George Kurtz steps up and in Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks. George Kurtz. And I saw tonight. So listen, Ovechkin scored another two goals. People used to ask, is he going to catch Gretzky? I don't know. At this pace, guy's going to catch Gretzky like this year. Score so many damn goals. This guy's unbelievable. But I see that he's four goals behind Brett Hull right now, the great Brett Hull, on the all-time list. And I saw the quote tonight of Brett Hull who said, I don't even like hockey. I'm just good at it. So it's our perfect segue into the guest that joins us right now. He doesn't even like coming on the show, but he's just so damn good at it. George Kurtz joins us. What's up, George?
Well, after that Monday Night Football game tonight, I guess you're lucky I'm still awake for the show.
Yeah, that was a hard one. I had to watch.
It was
frustrating. It was a frustrating game. Did you win money on it at least?
No, I didn't have anything on it. I didn't trust the rain, but I just read your tweet, and it's really it couldn't be more true that everyone that game made everybody angry. Right? No one's happy at the end of that game. Just really reading that now, that's pretty true.
Yeah, well, during the game it was frustrating. Like, fantasy players were getting angry, right? Like, people, yeah, Metcalf, he scores, he gets 84 yards on his first catch, runs for a touchdown. You're thinking, oh, boy, I'm in for a big night with Metcalf. I had him in props. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And they don't throw the ball ever once again. He's boxing with Lattimore all night. They're not calling anything on Lattimore. It was just a frustrating game. I won some, and I lost with the props. I ended up losing, like, a minus on the game, but not by much, but... because of the props, because they didn't throw the stupid ball, and I played an in-game Geno Smith prop, and in the last drive I would have hit it, except whatever, he turned the ball over again. But so George, I brought it up. So Ovechkin, and I don't know, we got our boy Jazz, I believe, in the chat right now. He was, I don't know if he's still here, but listen, I know Jazz flew like 3,000 miles to see the Stanley Cup Finals, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Montreal Canadiens, and I saw tonight. In Ottawa, a girl had a sign that said, I drove 3,000 kilometers. So she's in Canada. I don't know where she came from. But she said, I drove 3,000 kilometers just to see Ovechkin. And she had an Ovechkin jersey on and stuff. And Ovechkin went over to her and gave her a stick, George. Very nice of him, huh? Dude, you know me, George. I've been flying around North America for the last year going to sporting events. Nobody ain't giving me nothing. I got to go with a sign. I flew in for this game. I flew 3,000 miles. Yeah, I don't know. They're going to look at me. Yeah, and what do you want, a medal?
Yeah, you're not the kid that Brady gave. You're not the cancer kid that Brady gave the cat yesterday. And you're not a pretty looking female either. I think the odds are against you.
Yeah. Well, it was nice of Ovechkin to do that. And it was, I don't know if you saw this, George, but this is a nice moment. A real cool moment tonight. It happened in Ottawa as well. Is Batherson, Drake Batherson, not exactly a household name, but he's a rookie actually. So imagine that he's a rookie, and he's on the Ottawa Senators. He scored a hat trick tonight. All right, so he scored a hat trick. But what's cool about this, George, is his father was there. Like it was like the first pro game his father, like, so like the season just started, he gets out there and they all threw hats, like, you know, the hat trick, and his father threw a hat on the ice. That's a pretty cool special moment. Imagine being a dad and your kid's a rookie and he just scores a hat trick against Ovechkin and the Capitals, and you get to throw a hat on the ice. And because I saw him after, and he said his dad told him that he lost his hat. And he said, I'm going to buy my dad a new hat. He started laughing. Said, I got to get my dad a new Senator's hat. He lost his hat. Great story there.
That's an awesome story. But I just read another stat on Twitter here. There's been more hat tricks right now than there has been in the last 30 years. So
what?
Fewer than hat tricks. Yeah.
What?
More
really?
Hat tricks in the first, I guess.
In 30 years.
A little less than there have been in the last 30 years. I just read that literally 2 minutes ago before I came on.
Oh, my God. How many hat tricks have there been? Who else has? How many hat tricks have been so far this year?
I don't think they gave me a number. I will find a tweet for you again. I'll retweet it so you can see it. But like I said, I'm not surprised. Right?
So this is like no hitters. Like, remember baseball in the season? It was like every day there was no hitter. So what's up with this? Why are there so many hat tricks suddenly? You're right. The guy I saw a hat trick the other night in Montreal. Perot got a hat trick the other night off the top of my head. You're right. I had the empty net goal. I saw it. Yeah.
Lindholm had one the other day. What, Saturday? He scored the hat trick in overtime. That's a nice little bonus there. So there's been
that's cool
hat tricks. McDavid had one earlier this year. I think in game two. There he goes. It's from NHL Public Relations, actually. There have been 11 hat tricks through the first 2 weeks of the
2011
season. The most at this stage of a season in more than 30 years. So some NHL public relations.
Thank you for reminding me about that Twitter account. I like that. That's good. It's good hockey follow. Thank you for reminding me. I was all over them in the playoffs. They have good hockey stats. So, yeah, I see it right now. But, George, so look at this. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Because, bro, there's been 11. All right? There's been 11. Like, but all the other times, George, you look at the eras. Look when they all are. I see it now. 1981, 1980. Like, look at, so 74, 75, a little bit of a surprise. But you know what? The Canadians were really good, and the Flyers, there was a few dominant teams. So I'm sure a few stars racked up hat tricks. But you remember, George, sort of right at the end of your Islander run, the league really opened up, right? Like, it wasn't shootout hockey with the Islanders. The Islanders weren't a defensive team. Like, you know what I mean, George? Like, the Islanders won all the cups. You know what I mean? They didn't play 2-1 games, but they didn't play 6-5 games either. You know what I mean? They played normal sort of hockey, 4-1. You know what I mean? They didn't play their – I'm talking about their style. But when the Oilers came in, George, dude, they used to win games 7-5 and stuff like that. Right? And so, and remember, like, you know, everybody started to score 70 and 80 goals in the NHL. Wayne Gretzky scored 92. So it's just fascinating to me that, all right, there were 17 hat tricks, 17 in 88, 89, 84, 85, 17, 81, 82, 87, 88, 82, 83, 79 and 80, 74, 75, 80, 81. Nothing in the modern era at all, George. They, you know, that's what's crazy about this. So, I don't know what to attribute it to. Bad goaltending. That's my take. Bad goaltending. We're already seeing a lot of backups play every night, aren't we?
Well, it's not that. Come on. You and I remember back that time. Goalies were nothing back then. Nothing. Nowadays, you...
Yeah, but what is it now? Place. Why is it now?
I don't know. That's you asked for. That's the question that really needs to be asked.
I'm saying bad goaltending now. I'm saying bad goaltending now.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, is offense just a little bit ahead of the goaltenders right now? Is it the short end of season? Is that it? I mean, you're absolutely right. We'll never, ever see, like we don't see complete games in baseball, we'll never see a goaltender play 70, 72, 75 games anymore. That's gone.
Oh, you know what we'll never see, too, George? And I guarantee you this. I'll die. I'll stake. I'll be dead before this ever happens. Ovechkin, George, laughing at me dying. So, Ovechkin's going to break Gretzky's record. Nobody's ever scoring 92 goals again in the NHL in a year.
Oh, agreed.
You know what I mean? That's just one of those stats that's like, no, you can't do it. Like, it's impossible. Like, even Connor McDavid or anyone, it's like, you're not doing it in today's day
and age. No one's doing 50 and 50 anymore. Remember, that was always the big thing, 50 goals in 50 games. That's not going to be done. 92, no chance in hell. I think someone might get to 70. I could see McDavid getting to 70, but that's about as high as I'll go.
Really, huh? So... the thing is, though, it's not like every game is going over or anything like that in the NHL. Right? Even though, because there's a lot of teams that are on some pretty heavy under trends right now. But, man, that's unbelievable. 11 hat tricks. People have been playing hockey for less than 2 weeks. We're not even on our second Wednesday yet. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's a big crowd. Welcome us back, even though we lost.
I'll give you something to cry about, you loser. You can't catch a football? Let's see if you can catch a rock.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. A lot of stuff to get to. We got sports grids. George Kurtz kicking it with us. All right, so there's a lot of stuff to get to. I'm just scrolling through, trying to keep up with everything that's going on in the world right now, and I just saw something about the Dodgers, and I sort of stopped for a second. Still sad, George, you know what I mean? It's one of those deals, like, you know, I woke up the next day. Sky didn't fall. Winning the World Series really softened the blow, George, you know what I mean? I can't lie. I didn't feel the same, like, pain and anger. And like, I used to be mad when they get eliminated. Like, I hated them when they lost the World Series. I didn't hate them, but I was like, God, you guys piss me off. Like, one of those deals. I didn't feel the same way. Beating San Francisco was big, but one of those deals where I woke up Sunday morning, was NFL, and then about 2 minutes in, George, one of those, I was like, oh, there's no Dodger game tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it was over. I just sort of remembered. It was that sinking feeling. I'm still depressed about it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not crying or anything. I'm a grown man, and I don't play for the Dodgers, but I am a big fan. I got into it. I'm sad the run came to an end.
I think most of us can understand how you feel. Who doesn't understand? I all root for teams, right? I try and turn the page as soon as possible. You know, okay, the Yankees get eliminated. We're on to the Cowboys.
Yeah, sir. That's what I thought. Yeah.
in front of my house, I have flags, a Yankee flag. I only have one for each season. As soon as the Yankees lost, took down the Yankee flag, put up the Cowboy flag.
All right, you get any Cowboys heat for the Cowboy flag from the neighbors?
I live on the last house on a dead end, and no one's a sports fan. So no, no one's ever said anything other than a neighbor. Actually, the neighbor goes, "What are they?" I'm like, "Oh, really? You don't even know what I'm putting up. You don't know what the NY is. You do live in New York. How do you not know what the N?" And then he says, "What is that?" Because it doesn't say Yankees. It's just blue with the NY. It's like, all right. He's not a sports fan, obviously. It is what it is.
Kurt, so we'll get into the World Series. So speaking of the Cowboys, so I brought this up earlier. I got a bunch of win totals that are looking pretty good, actually. So this is my portfolio. Well, I can share it with people. I'm surprised I haven't been paid because a couple of them already won. All right, I've got the New York Jets under 6.5. That's looking good.
Me too.
I've got the Titans to win a division.
Don't have.
That's looking good. I've got Miami under 9.5. Oh, that was college football. It's already won. All right, so don't worry about my college stuff. I'll skip that for now. I got the Denver Broncos under 8.5 wins, George. I like that. It's looking good. That's looking good. I got the Green Bay Packers to win their division. Looking good. San Francisco 49ers to win a division. I put a smaller play on that, but obviously that's dead money. That's dead money. That's done. Jacksonville Jaguars under 6.5.
Yep.
I doubled up on that one. That one's looking good. Looking good. So, like I said, killing this stuff. Killing it. The only one I'm going to lose is San Francisco. Oh, and I have a small play on the Cleveland Browns to win a division as well. I don't know why I don't see that here.
I have that as well.
I should have it. I thought I had it. It's here somewhere. I got too many plays. 26 plays. But anyway, so where I'm going with it, George, is, where's my Cleveland play? I could have swore I bet on Cleveland. Did I not bet on them?
Well, you should be happy you don't have it now.
I know. I'm looking. That's why, Joe, I swear to God right now, I'm like, oh, my God. Am I been getting upset every week about Cleveland losing for nothing? Let's see. I don't have them. I don't have them.
Oh, see, you won my.
I never put the bet in. I never put the bet in. Thank God I just looked, George. I've been stressing and getting mad about it.
That's found money. As far as I'm concerned, that's found money.
I have 26 current bets. If you were to win, I can blast it. I get to the NFL once. You know what I got here, though? I got Garrett Cole to win the Cy Young. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe.
I don't think so.
Nah, it's Robbie Ray's going to win.
I think it's Robbie Ray, yeah. I think Cole had a chance, but he blew it in that last game. Not the Fenway, not the wild card game. The one in Toronto.
Yeah, I got Walker Buehler to win the Cy Young. That's not going to happen. Just $100. That's not going to happen. I have Azarena to win the Rookie of the Year, though, with Tampa. I think that's a lock. So I'm going to get that money back. But so anyways, so one of them, though, George, so I sort of look at them, and you know, because I can cash out if I want and that stuff. So I'm looking, and I played the Vikings under 8.5 before the season started. Right at the last second. I was like, you know, I'm going to get the Vikings in under 8.5. And they're 3-3. But I tell you what, I cashed out today for the even play. They offered me my $300 back because I actually like the way they're playing, George. Right? I think the Vikings are playing good football. I know you watch all the games and you're a big fantasy player. So, dude, whether Dalvin Cook is there or not, man, it doesn't matter, man. That ground attack is potent. Say what you will about Kirk Cousins. He's playing some great football. Must be a contract here because he's playing good football for them right now. Like, I don't have a problem with Kirk Cousins. I've watched all the Viking games. He's making plays, great throws. He really is just playing solid football. That defense that Zimmer used to be able to hang his hat on, we all hung our hat on betting on the Vikings, and they were in a covering machine over the years. Was suspect over the last 2 years. They didn't pay people. The secondary was young and raw. They patchworked that up. They got a great pass rush now. They got a couple of guys. You know, Griffin can get after the quarterback. They're getting a good pass rush. Their D-line is better. They're actually playing good football. So all this to say, I abandon ship because I'm actually buying into the Vikings, and I think they can get to 9 wins. And the in-season total is 8.5. So I just got my money back, and I'm thinking about buying back in now. But to the over with the Vikings. And obviously, if they win this game, they're going to go over the number. It's one of these deals almost, because they win this game, they're going to have momentum. And they're playing against your Dallas Cowboys, the only team in the National Football League that is perfect against the spread. Dallas Cowboys -2.5 right now, Kurt. Sunday night football, 2.5-point road favorites, 54.5. You're the Cowboy fan. Are you nervous about this game?
Oh, of course. Minnesota is a better team than their record, by the way. Much better. Look at their three losses.
Oh, the field goal. They lost to Arizona on a 37 missed yard field goal. You're right.
Right. But they lost by 1 point to Arizona, the undefeated team. Cincinnati, who's got the best record in the AFC, they lost
overtime.
By 3 points in overtimes. And they lost, the one egg they laid was versus Cleveland, right? The 14-7 loss. That was a weird game, but they lost that one. Other than that, they've played well. Granted, they haven't really beaten anybody. You've beaten Carolina, team that's falling apart. Detroit is terrible, and Seattle, not so good either. All right, but their next couple of games will tell you a story. They play Dallas, Baltimore, Chargers, Green Bay. You want those San Fran in there, that fifth game.
Oh, boy. That's why I'm worried about the total, but they're
capable.
Right,
I think I would have done the same thing you did. Even though I like Minnesota, I think I would have cashed out to take my 300 back. Because what if they go 1-3, which is not out of the realm of possibility?
I had the under 8.5, George. I cashed out because I'm thinking about betting the over. But the thing is, that schedule is tough. I can't deny that. But
it does get easy.
I know. And the thing is, if they win this game, they're going to be very confident after, and things are going to start to come together for them. And I do think this is a winnable game on Sunday Night Football. Dallas are due Dallas are due. They're due for a loss.
They're due for a loss. It's on the road. And I know the Minnesota Stadium is a new stadium, but they generally don't play all that well in Minnesota. It's been their history, really. They haven't played all that great there. So Cousins has beaten them in the past.
Oh, that's going to be a madhouse, George. Halloween weekend, everyone's going to be dressed up. It's going to be all crazy.
It's going to be freaky, but it'll be fun. I think this game's going to be a ton of points, assuming. Now, we have to assume Dak plays. All right, and he's out of the walking boot today. I think he's going to play. I'm pretty sure he's going to play. But I don't know if it's going to be with Dak of old. Can he make it through the game? You really won't know about that calf until he does play and the adrenaline's flowing. You know, in practice, they're not going to push him. So we'll see if he can make the game here. But assuming he makes the game, I think points are coming in this game. I think a lot of points are coming in this game. I know, once again, Diggs is going to be on Jefferson, I imagine, wherever he goes. But who's covering Thielen? All right, who's going to stop that run? One thing Minnesota will test is the middle of that Dallas defensive line. But Cook, he's going to go at that line, and he'll be a healthy Cook. It doesn't really matter anyway. Madison's not as good as Cook, but he's a good running back anyway. But Cook is going to test that middle of the Dallas defensive line to see if they can stop him, and I'm not sure they can. I think Dallas, to win this game, is going to need to score 34-plus points.
Total is 54.5. I agree. I think it's going to be a track meet. It's going to be a close game. We know that. It's going to be a close game. It's just, you know what? It's one of those statement games. As you stated, you know, Dallas have been very impressive. They win this game. That's even another. That's an impressive road win for them. And if Minnesota win this game, we got to start taking the Vikings seriously, George.
Agreed. I guess it's not going to be an easy game. I think it's almost whoever gets the 37 first wins.
37?
I don't know if either team can stop the other. I just, not consistently. It could come down to which team makes the least amount of mistakes. If Dallas plays against Minnesota the way they did against New England, they'll get crushed. You can't turn the ball over 2-3 times, take all those dumb penalties. You survive against New England. You can't do that against Minnesota. They will take advantage of
it. They have the talent. New England doesn't. You're right.
They'll score points. They will put up points. Like I said, this game to me smells like 37-34, 41-38 wouldn't shock me either. I think the over gets crushed.
George Kurtz kicking it with us. All right, George, let's take a look at some of the win totals right now. Updated win totals for the season. 17 games, of course. Atlanta Falcons, 7.5 right now. Shocking the world at 3-3. So 7.5 for these guys. So they need to get to 8. They're at 3. So they need to go 5-5 down the stretch. I'm not willing to make that bet. Baltimore Ravens are at 11.5. I sort of want to pick on the bad teams here. Let's just look at the bad teams and see, like, all right, what's their updated? Like, can we – the Jets, I'd like to pick on the Jets, but
no way.
Mike White's better than Zach Wilson.
They just got Joe Flacco. They're going to be fine. Fine, I tell you.
They could win a game or two with them. The Jets' win total is 3.5 right now.
They need to win three games. Who are they beating? That's the first thing I'm going to say. Who are they going to beat? Can they beat Miami once?
Who did the Jets beat this year?
They beat Tennessee.
Oh, my God.
How did that happen? There was no way to get around who they were. That's how it happened.
Oh, my God. They beat the Titans. You're right. My God.
They play Houston. All right. They play Houston and Jacksonville. So I guess
they could get there. Yeah, that's the three.
Who else they beating? Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Miami, Houston, Philly, New Orleans, Miami, Jacksonville, Tampa.
Maybe Miami. I can't bet the 3.5 under. It's too low. All right, more on the other side with Kurtz. I was blind, but now I see.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
My name's Bobby and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. All right, let's get into the football totals here. I was looking for some value here. See if we can make some money. So the Jets are 3.5. It's just too low, George. George Kurtz with us. It's just too low. All right, let's see. Your Dallas Cowboys. 11.5. Over under 11.5, but it's -170 to the over. So if I like the under, are the Cowboys going to win 12 games?
I don't think so. Schedule's harder, right?
So the Cowboys, so they're at 5 right now. So they're 5-1. That means 11 games left, and they need to win 7. So they need to go 7-4 to win this bet.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there are games they could. The schedule's not brutal, but there are games they could definitely lose. They do play Washington twice. I mean, I know Washington's terrible, but those are usually tougher games in the division here. Arizona, they play. New Orleans, they play. These are all on the road. So New Orleans on the road, they play at Kansas City. I assume they'll have things figured out in a month. That's when they play them. We already mentioned Minnesota this week's tough. I think they'll be right at it. I think they have the number right, but I don't think Dallas is 12. I think they'll be a little inconsistent.
I think there's value with the under, George, because I hate to say it, and I don't want to curse you, but somebody gets hurt, they're not getting a 12. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dak gets hurt, like, you know what I mean? You're talking about it.
They're done. We already know.
I know, but any quarterback's done, but you're already talking about how he's beat up. So the Cowboys' schedule, all right, so now it's the Vikings this week, as we talk about. At Vikings this week, then they host the Broncos. They'll beat the Broncos. Versus the Falcons, which could actually be a battle, but whatever.
They'll be.
At Chiefs versus Raiders. All right, yeah, assume that's a loss. All right, so Raiders will be a tough game. That'll be a good one. At Saints, at Washington. At Giants, that's a little bit of a tricky little run there, 3 weeks in a row on the road. Then versus Washington, versus Cardinals at Eagles.
I mean, you assume I think they will lose to Minnesota. I think it'll be a good game, but I think they'll lose. I think they'll lose to Kansas City. It's in Kansas City. It's in Dallas.
So if I'm betting the under, I got to find 5 losses here, George. All right, so at KC, let's call that a loss.
Let's call
at New Orleans. Let's call New Orleans a loss.
I'm not calling New Orleans a loss. That team has no offense. They're not going to be able to stay with Dallas. Dallas is going to score, even against good defensive teams, they're scoring 24, 27 points, and that's being kind. Most teams are going to score 30-plus. What they do.
I don't know if they're going to lose.
To stick with them.
I don't know if they're going to lose 5 times. Let's say they lose to the Cardinals.
Minnesota, KC, Arizona, and now we got to find 2 more. I think that's the tricky part. I think
they could stumble in a division game just because it's a division game. The Giants hate them. They all hate each other, right?
They do. It's always it's rivalry game. It's always there. My problem is finding the 5th loss. I'll give you one of the Washington games. You know, they're generally playing in Washington. It's another place they don't play well. So that's 4. Where's your 5th? Vegas on Thanksgiving? Maybe. You know, New Orleans won't be an easy, so it could be. Those are back-to-back Thursday games. So maybe. You know, Giants are sort of a mess. They'll be healthier by then. So once again, it's in New York. The weather could be terrible. And if it is, Dallas could have a tough time doing what they do. And maybe that last game against Philadelphia means nothing for Dallas. It very well could be. You know, where they can't, there's only one team that has a bye this week. Dallas may have nothing to play for by then. I think they'll have a division locked up by Thanksgiving, for crying out loud. So they'll only be playing for seeding in December.
George Kurtz, Sports Grid Radio Networks, kicking it with us on the Monday night meltdown. So Dallas Cowboys over under 11.5. Detroit Lions, 2.5.
They're playing for them.
I think
they're playing hard.
Is this the week? I think this is the week. Dude, for people that aren't aware, too, so the Lions ran an onside kick to start the game, and it worked. Then they ran a fake punt later in the first half. It worked. Then they ran another fake punt in the third quarter. It worked. It goes to show, like, hey, Pete Carroll, loosen up a little bit, right? And maybe you'll give yourself a chance to win. But Detroit are playing hard. Now they get Philadelphia. We're pretty shaky. Seems like this is a good spot. Is this a spot for the Lions to win? I think it is. I think the Lions can win this football game. No reason why they can win this game. They can win this game. Lions can win this game. But I don't know if they can get to three. So let me see the Lions schedule here from here on out. So they host Philadelphia. Then it's a bye.
Thanksgiving.
Hold on. So it's Philadelphia this week. Then it's a bye week. Then they're at Pittsburgh. They're not going to win that game. They're at Cleveland versus Chicago versus Minnesota. At Denver versus Arizona. At Atlanta. At Seattle versus Green Bay. Are they going to get to three?
I don't think so.
No, maybe two. One might be a load.
Right. I'll give you Chicago. They have all their problems. It's Thanksgiving, so it's a short week for Chicago and Field, so maybe there. But where's your number
two? That's true.
Denver's sort of a mess, but that's on the road in Denver. That's no fun place to play. Where else? I mean, even Atlanta's playing well, and that game's in Atlanta.
Yeah, but I can't take the under. I can't take the under because I think they're gonna beat Philadelphia. And if they beat Philadelphia, then, you know what I mean, the number will go up to 3.5. Then maybe we could jump in. But I think they could beat Philadelphia. I really do.
I don't know. Philadelphia, they're playing like crap. They are, but Detroit, they're playing. The only thing I can say good about Detroit is they're playing hard for Campbell. They gave the Rams a game, right? That game was actually there. I can see them being a little let down, though. I can see that happening here. But it's at home. Sure, they can beat Philadelphia. It's another bad team, but I'm certainly not betting on it one way or the other. But even if they do, I just don't see how they're getting the three. I don't. If they lose to Philadelphia, by the way, I think it's 1-16.
Now, I put $500 on the Houston Texans under 4.5 in season. I think I did it after week two or something, whatever. As I was looking, I'm like, how the hell is this team going to win five games? And they're not. So now, though, the updated total is 3.5, but it's shaded to the under. So it's -225 to the under for these guys to get the four. They do have one win, though, right?
Yes.
They do have one win. What's the Texans' schedule? And for the record, the NFL trade deadline is November the 2nd, everybody. And
it's after this week.
Yeah, the Deshaun Watson talk is heating up right now. Miami's not interested. It seems like, the internal reports there are that basically Miami feel like Houston have been using them as some sort of, you know what I mean? And I guess
Miami first round pick, and Houston doesn't want Tua.
Yeah, well, they don't have the money to pay Deshaun Watson either.
That's another, but
I don't know if Houston doesn't want Tua, though. I don't know that to be the case.
That's what came out, that they're not interested. Or they're not interested in him being a major part of the deal, is what I should say. I'm sure they would take him, but he's not going to be the center point. They want picks.
Considering they have a guy that's under investigation for 22 sexual assaults, they're not exactly in a position to be talking to anybody about what they want. Like, you know what I'm saying? like Deshaun Watson, too, supposedly has loosened his,
There's no trade.
Yeah, the amount of teams. Like, basically, he'll go anywhere now. Because before, that's the whole thing, though, George. Miami were never interested. It was Deshaun Watson that started it all. Deshaun Watson started all that stuff about him wanting to go to Miami. He started it and tried to snowball it, and they never bit. They never bit on it. Stephen Ross doesn't want him. I don't know if it's a football thing, if it's a PR thing, if it's an off-the-field thing, but whatever. He's not going to the Dolphins. It's a pile of crap. But I do buy in, even though it'd be kind of weird because they traded a second and a fourth round and a sixth round pick, but he sucks, and Sam Darnold. I do buy in that Carolina's in the mix, and that's the new one right now, George. The Carolina Panthers are the front runners for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, because they finally realized that Sam Darnold's not the answer. That was kind of silly that they thought he was here. My thing is this. I'd be surprised. I'm not going to say shocked, but surprised if he's dealt.
I agree with you.
Because if you're the GM, how are you selling this? Once again, you're going to have every woman's group, and rightfully so, that's going to protest this whole thing that you traded for a player. You mentioned 22 sexual lawsuits and 10 criminal complaints. That's part one. You got to deal with that. Part two is he's going to get suspended. It's just a matter of when. It looks like Goodell wants to wait until after everything's over, which means, great, you might be able to play him this year, which would be the PR disaster, but next year you're not going to have him. Yeah, it's just, I don't see how this is happening. There's no way if I'm a GM, and I'm not going to say I wouldn't try to trade for him because I probably would be interested, especially if my owner tells me I have no choice. You got to do what you got to do. But no way until next year. I'm not doing it this year. That's nuts. What if Goodell goes, oh, you just made that trade. Nice. He suspended 10 games.
Well, word was that a bunch of teams, supposedly there were three or four teams that said, we'll do this, but we wanted in writing that if he gets suspended, we get our picks back and stuff. And Houston's under the, no. Once you get them, it's your problem.
Yeah, buy and
that's, yeah, but that's the thing. Houston's trying to take the problem off that because, like you said, you just nailed it. So what, you get them, and then what, you got to deal with a suspension after when everything comes down right after? Like, it's, I don't know. And I think the NFL created this mess by not just saying something along the way, right? They've kind of been in a weird, but I'm with you. I don't know, though. I was going to say, I don't believe he gets traded, but let me say this, George. I don't think he gets dealt, not because of the PR stuff. The NFL's been through worse, right? And he hasn't been charged with a crime, so that's another thing, too. I think they're not going to do it because it's unreasonable to give up what they want under the circumstances, bro. Number one, you got to pay the guy. Number two, he's unhappy. Number three, there's a million sexual things going on. Number four, you're going to be on every damn, you're going to be on CNN and stuff, bro, once you sign this guy. Like, you're going to be on the Rachel Maddow show getting ripped. Like, do you realize, like, yeah, like you said, it's a PR disaster. Like,
what about your corporate sponsors? Your corporate sponsors are out about this.
You're right. Yeah, it's
this,
not.
This trade can't go down until after the season. I think, what, February when they depose all those witnesses, then they'll work out a deal eventually. I don't think he's ever going to serve jail time. After that, then you can move him once this is done during the offseason. There's no, like I said, I would be shocked.
You're right.
Absolutely shocked.
Probably by the draft, George. You're right. That's what I assume. At the draft
next year, next May, next April.
When teams know, because they got to resolve this. So basically, GMs are told by Goodell, this is what's going to happen. You guys can trade for him if you want, but he's getting suspended for 8 games or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they got to come to a resolution eventually here, right? Because another thing, we talked about it, innocent until proven guilty. I mean, the guy's career is getting sort of screwed with right now, right? But another thing is, I can't feel sorry for him. We can't feel sorry for him, though. And I agree. I didn't think Elliott should have gotten suspended. But the thing is, hey, Deshaun, you sort of were the jackass and said you didn't even want to play for Houston and you were going to sit out. So you ended up saying, here you go. That's why the Texans are almost like, screw you, right? Like, to him anyways. And they made him like fourth on the depth chart and all that. But the thing with Carolina is, George, David Tepper, the owner, right? Very rich guy, New Jersey guy, New York, New Jersey type. No shareholders, bro. He's just a rich sort of hedge fund guy. I don't think he cares. You know what I'm saying? And look, man, like, it's the Bible Belt, but they care about winning football games there, bro. And he played at Clemson, right? I know Clemson's South Carolina, but still, he's still a legend in the Carolinas. You know what I mean? So, like, he's like, Carolina's name has always been involved with him.
Oh, I think it makes sense, football sense, for Carolina to get him. I do. But like I said, and he may be rich, and he may not care about shareholders, may not have them. But what if those corporate sponsors decide to leave, and you're not selling out the stadium?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's rich enough that he could say, well, tough, I don't care if I lose this sponsor. Like, you know what I mean? Like the Rooneys or the Mayors would be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy's an individual, you know? I don't know. The fact that he's interested in him in the first place says all you need to know, sort of. More with Kurtz on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. We're kicking it. George Kurtz, Sports Grid Radio Network's joining us. We're throwing it down on the Mightier 1090. San Diego, Los Angeles, Southern California in the house. George Kurtz joining us from Long Island, New York. It's a late night anger management class. So a ton of stuff I want to get to, actually. Georgia, time always just flies by looking at the win totals. But the win totals are pretty sharp right now. So I think the value really is sort of in the divisions, and the divisions are starting to fall into place. So let me ask you right now, guys, and we've been big Arizona supporters. You know, we've got a signed Kyler Murray helmet right here on the set. I believed in Kyler Murray. I believed in Arizona coming into the year. But with that being stated, looking at the odds right now, I think that it's a little bit over the top, looking at the division here, in which the Arizona Cardinals are currently minus 195. Minus 195 favorites to win the NFC West. The LA Rams are plus 175. I'm surprised. I thought it would be closer to a pick 'em, George. I didn't think it would be this new adjusted number. I think there's value with the Rams at plus 175 right now.
So do I. I mean, the Cardinals, in some ways, are playing above their heads. Not so much on offense. I think we knew they were going to score points. It's the defense we're really surprised about. They were sort of like Dallas in some ways, where could the defense just be average? You know, and they'd be great. And that team is playing well above average. That defense actually looks like they can win you games, and they've been doing this without Chandler Jones, who just came back off COVID today. He'll play Thursday night. So I think there's a value in the Rams as well. They did lay an egg when they played them, right? That's the one game they didn't play well. But other than that, the Rams are a dangerous team. These two are on a collision course, right? I don't think it's I mean, Seattle, Russell Wilson pretty much killed their season, and San Fran has all issues at quarterback as it is. So this division, which we thought was going to be the best in football, the toughest in football, all of a sudden, not so much.
It's crazy, though, because I was ready to pull the trigger and say that Arizona was going to lose. They were going to lose for the first time this Thursday, but now, of course, Davante Adams is out. Now, Davante Adams being out doesn't completely turn me off taking the Packers plus 6 points, but makes me wonder about winning this game outright. All right, hang in here, George. We'll get you out in a couple of minutes, but I want to get your thoughts on the Jack Eichel trade rumor situation. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it!